Let me say good afternoon to everyone and want to welcome you to our worship service at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, where we've assembled this afternoon. I want to thank those brothers that have preceded me in offering as we looked at, again, those five acts of worship where we will look at the doctrine on this afternoon, also the opportunity for those to give back to the Lord, what the Lord has blessed them with, communing with the Lord in the breaking of bread and prayer. And then I want to thank the brother for leading us in our praising God on this afternoon. If you're with us and you're visiting and you've been invited by someone, our hope is that you'll listen to the word of God. We want you, as the Bible says in Acts 2:47, we want you to be added to the church and be saved from your sins. And the only way you can do that is by obeying the Lord. And we want to let you know that at the close of our lesson on this afternoon, we will give you specifically those things that God has commanded for one to become a Christian. On this morning, we spoke from 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul was encouraging Timothy. In verse 21, he told him, or shared with him, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. He told him, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. But it's important that as a leader, we are able to not show preference, that we listen to the word of God. And as I said this morning, one of the responsibilities of the preacher is to discharge their duties without fear, favor, or partiality. You know, don't treat one person over another. Don't do things that one ought not to do. And so we want to look this afternoon at Saul, who was, the Bible shares with us, he was appointed the king over God's people. We want to look at him, look at leaders that we find in the Bible, and that they are able to do the things that God has commanded them to do. And so we want to speak from this afternoon from the subject title taken from the verse number 11, where God said, it repented me that I have set up Saul. God said that. Why did he say that? What did Saul do that God said that it repented him, that he made him a king? And so in verse number 1, the Bible says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Any leader of God's people, or any leaders, let me say that, of God's people, must listen and do the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, we hear the word of God through scripture today. We got to be willing to listen to what God say do, and then do what the Lord say do. Notice what the Lord said to Saul in verse number 2 through Samuel. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Yeah. God remembers when others do wrong to his children. That's what we find in verse number 2 and 3. God remembered Amalek and how they had treated God's people. God, according to 1 Peter 3:12, eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. So God sees when we're going through stuff, and God sees when wrong is done to us. So the Bible says, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get ye down from among the Amaleks, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And so Saul had heard what God say do. And I want us to know that when we serve a God, sometimes we may forget the type of God we serve. In Romans, you turn there briefly, and we'll come back to 1 Samuel. But in Romans chapter 11, and the verse is number 22. Romans chapter 11 and verse is number 22. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And the word severity, the definition of it, is to be cut off. We serve a God that not only can offer goodness, but God can deliver punishment for wrongs that are done. Yeah, that's the God. There are two sides to God. One, Paul reminded them, there's a goodness of God. However, when we continue doing what's good, that is, we receive the goodness of God. But also, we can, when we don't do that which is right in our sight of God, we can see the severity of God. A God can punish us. And that's why we see in Amalek, when we look there back in 1 Samuel 15, why is God? Because there is a God that rewards those that are good, and God also offers punishment for wrongs done. And so we find in verse number 7, the Bible says, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is opposite Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatling, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. And so we see here, in looking at verse number 3, they did not do what God commanded them him to do. Saul didn't lead the people as God wanted. God said to him to utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. That's what God had told him. But we find in verse number 9, the Bible said, not only did Saul not do what God said, the Bible says, but he spared the king, Agag. And he made a judgment which was the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the fatling. Sometimes we have to do what God said do, and don't allow our emotions to move us to do that which is not pleasing in the sight of God. You know, he thought he may have been doing good by trying to save for God the best sheep and the best oxen and the best fatling. He said, and all that was good in his eyesight, but he did not do what God commanded him to do. So we learn that we ought not to show favor. We are not to show partiality. You got to have leaders that will do what the Lord says to do. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me, that's our subject title, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. God said it grieved him that he has set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Have to have leadership that's willing to do what the Lord said to do. And as Samuel said, the Lord said through Samuel here, and those that are willing to carry out the commands of the Lord. We need membership that's willing to carry out the commands of the Lord. We have ministry set up for members to serve in. We need members to perform those things that we see that's necessary for the betterment of the congregation. The Bible says, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. So we seeing again, you know, the church, as I said, need leaders that will do the commandments of God. You know, this should be the mindset of leaders, to do that which is right in the sight of God. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. This is what Saul said to Samuel. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. It is the responsibility of a leader or leaders to carry out the commands of God and not give in to what the people want to do. And sometimes we can do what people want to do. Then Saul said unto him, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? I want to say this to Highland Heights as I reach a close and offer the invitation. The question is asked sometimes, why some churches of Christ have gone astray or gone away from what is right? I think the example we find in Saul's response to Samuel, you know, he said the people. He blamed the people. Now, I want to say this, if I can use a secular example. When I was coming up, there was a singing group called the OJs. And they had among them a couple of hits, two of them, that may apply in this matter. One thing you got to be careful of, they had one song called Give the People What They Want. Got to give the people what they want. Leadership have to understand that the people have to want to do the will of God and not you give them what they want. Second problem sometimes, when we talk about eldership this morning, sometimes we find with eldership will give in to what members want to do in order to keep the membership. Sometimes, the second song I know the OJs came, it was for the love of money. Let us be mindful that we are not doing things because of money. That we do those things that are consistent with the will of God. Let us not be like Saul. Don't blame the people. That's why God has leaders in order to lead. Sometimes that is a difficult task, but as I said this morning, you have to be willing to do it without showing fear, favor, and sometimes consequences that may come with them. But those are the type of leaders that God are pleased with when you find in the Word of God what the Word of God said. And I'm so thankful at Highland Heights, We are trying to do those things consistent. Our worship service is going to be consistent with the Word of God. We're going to do those things because there's others that are not. And so hopefully what we can do for those congregations that have gone astray, they're still our sister congregation. However, what we can do, we can set an example for them of what's consistent in the will of God. It's not giving the people what they want. It's not doing things because of money. It's doing things that please the Lord. And that's why in verse number 22 of 1 Samuel 15, Samuel said something that is foundational for Christians. He said to him in verse 22, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram." It's better to obey God than offer sacrifice to God. It's better to listen to the Lord than to try to offer the Lord the fat of rams. Highland Heights, let us continue to do those things that we find consistent in Scripture. We say that Christ is the head of the church, and we are governed by those letters that we find Paul wrote to the various churches, and by what Christ said, and by what the apostles said, the apostles' doctrine. Those are our sounding boards for how we conduct ourselves in the church. And then when we have those that don't want to do those things, we have to have a spirit. We talked about today, this morning, about a spirit of meekness that we correct individuals in love. Yeah. But let us work to be an example. Let us be that which is, as Paul said to the Romans, that we see the goodness of God and not the severity of God, because we are doing those things. We are continuing in those things that are good. We're worshiping God according to book, chapter, and verse. We are evangelizing, trying to evangelize that area, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. We are trying to evangelize them and get them to hear the gospel and give them an opportunity to obey the Lord. And then again, we want to, as I said, the two E's, evangelism and edification. We want to edify one another through our fellowshipping with one another. I want to thank you this afternoon for being with us, listening to the Word of God. God told Saul, "It repented me that I've made him wild," because he didn't want to do what the will of God said. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you've been invited. You have to be willing to listen to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, we look in the book of Romans to find what one must do to become a Christian. In Romans 1:15-16, the Bible says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So God's power to save an individual from their sins is in the gospel of Christ. The gospel is those three facts: that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He suffered on the cross, died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, rose the third day, never to die again. You must believe that. And so Paul, in his letter to the Romans, told him in Romans 2:4, he said, "Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering." In other words, God has shown goodness to you. God has been patient with you. God has suffered with you. He said, "Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repent. The fact that you are living today and God has been good to you should lead you to repent. So one has to hear the gospel and repent of their sins. Why? Because in Romans 3:23, Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must repent of our sins because all of us have sinned. And then we find in Romans chapter 5 what Christ did for all of us. In Romans 5 and 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. He said, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the gospel is that Christ lived on this earth. He died for our sins. They buried him. He rose again the third day. You must believe that. So you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, and then you make the confession of what you believe in your heart, that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. You must make that confession. And then in Romans chapter 6, Paul shares what one must do. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, as I'm teaching now, you are in your sin, but you don't have to stay that way. Note what he responded to. He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So what you need to do today, you need to die to sin. Christ died for sin, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, but you have to die to sin. The Bible says in verse 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So what Paul was sharing with them, reminding them of what they did. Christ died for sin. Verse 2 says we die to sin. Then Christ died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, rose again the third day. The Bible says that now we are baptized into Jesus Christ because we are baptized into his death. We are buried with Christ by baptism into his death. And like as Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, he said, now when you are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, you will rise up in a newness of life. All things are new. All your past sins have been washed away in water baptism. If you're subject to the invitation, get with the person that invited you on the call. You can reach out to us at Highland Heights, coc.net, and let us know that you want to obey the Lord. And we want you to be added to the church and be saved from your past sins. There's someone that is subject to the invitation in any way. We bid you to come. Thank you.